We are going to look for just a moment at the Magnificat, at Mary's song of rejoicing, that she has just received news that she is carrying the Christ child, and she's interacting with her cousin Elizabeth. John the Baptist is in utero and leaps for joy at the presence of Jesus. And then Mary bursts into song. And this is her song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. And behold, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for he is mighty, who is mighty, has done this great thing for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of this, his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." This is Mary's song. There's something beautiful about music. I'm not a huge music guy. If you were riding with me in my car, you would probably either hear NPR or you'd hear sports radio, or I'd have a podcast on. I'm a words guy. But despite that, when, even for somebody like me, who doesn't have very refined musical taste, when you hear a beautiful piece of music, it hits you way deeper than the words. That music penetrates something more deeply than merely the content of the lyrics. And for some of our little girls in here, we're in the musical Mary Poppins recently, and I got to go see that. Nola helped out with that a little bit. And there was, I love musicals because they do this kind of in and out of their narratives. You know, they'll just be talking and then all of a sudden they just burst into song. You're like, but there's no transition there, right? You know, there's no like, okay, now we're about to sing. It's like, go get that. You know, and then they start singing. Okay. Not quite like that, but, I think that's what happens here with Mary, is that she is talking with her cousin about the glory of this promise that is finally coming. And it just wells up in her heart and she bursts into song. And what's this song about? This song is about revolution. A friend of mine, Charles Garland, who preached on this a few years ago, I listened to his sermon and I loved his take on it. And he was basically equating Mary's song here, the Magnificat, with the spirituals from the Underground Railroad. You know, Swing Low, Sweet Chariots is not simply about our souls going to God someday. It was a secret message. It was a subliminal message that there was a revolution coming and the Underground Railroad was coming to free the slaves. And the community around would sing these songs, both anticipation of the ultimate reality that was coming, but also of the revolution that was at hand. And this song, though it's sweet, and if you just read it over, kind of just quickly over, you would think, man, this is kind of Mary's private devotional singing time. I don't know if you sing during your private devotion time, but really at the heart of this is a revolution. And what's the revolution about? It's about the overthrow of the most tyrannical dictator ever. The idol of self. that Jesus is going to come, and we see in Mary's words that he is going to come and he's going to throw down the proud and he's going to exalt the lowly. He is going to come and care for the poor and the outcasts who are oftentimes overlooked, but the rich are going to go away empty. And what that is, that's revolutionary, that's redemptive revolution talk. To say that there's going to be the normal order of life is going to be flipped on its head in the kingdom of God. This new King Jesus, who didn't come in royal robes. I happen to used to live in Scotland, and the royals are frequent on the TV, on the telly, in Britain. And whenever Kate was going to have a baby and she delivers her first son, there is a lot of hubbub around it, right? Tons of cameras, pick out the right gown, make sure everything looks perfect. Here's the camera shot. He's all cleaned up nice and pretty. He's airbrushed. That's not the Savior we got. He's born like an outcast. He's born in poverty. No one's blowing trumpets except the angels who know what's going down. And Jesus, as he comes in humility, it models the kingdom that he is going to establish. This redemptive revolution that I'm going to look after those who are oftentimes forgotten. And so in this revolution, I think there's two things here that I want us to highlight as we think about this Christmas season and this revolution, this redemptive revolution coming. One is it frees us from serving ourselves. The second is it frees us from saving ourselves. In this Magnificat, Mary's celebration, the first thing is that she is singing about how Jesus is going to turn the normal order of things on its head. If you and I are honest, the normal way we relate to people is we think, what can I get from them? Or how much is it going to cost me to be in relationship with them? And the way the world works is then that creates a hierarchy, maybe an individual hierarchy for you and maybe an ultimate cultural hierarchy. The people on the top are the people who have most to give. And the people on the bottom are the people who have most often are taking in the normal society that we live in. And we, if we're honest, again, we oftentimes operate in our own relationships like that. We kind of think of people who bless us and give us things, whether it's material or relational or emotional. We think, wow, those people are valuable. And those people who take from us, we think, well, those people are kind of costly. And in Jesus' redemptive revolution, he's going to turn the tables on that. He's going to reorient our value system around grace. He's going to say, all of us are undeserving. And so therefore, we don't have to live and serve and honor and have a hierarchy like the normal world around us. We are freed from serving ourselves in that capacity where we look at other people and we go, hey, are they going to cost me too much or are they going to be able to bless me? And Jesus is coming, and this song is a reminder that Jesus in his redemptive revolution is going to turn the tables on that. And the reason that we are freed from serving ourselves is because we are also freed from saving ourselves. Mary is blessed. The Protestant tradition doesn't oftentimes give Mary the honor that we really should do. She's an amazing woman in the redemptive history, that she is the mother of God in the sense that her DNA mixed in some miraculous, amazing, mysterious way with the Holy Spirit in order to create this child. And that she bore this child, she carried this child. But you know, the focal point of this song she's singing is not her. She's not saying, blessed am I. Wow, aren't I magnificent? She is saying, blessed is the Lord. Great is my Savior. It's a revolution. Because oftentimes we think about ourselves, we serve ourselves, because we think we got to save ourselves. And what Jesus is doing as he comes and he not only turns over the way that we normally relate to people as either valuable or costly and create a hierarchy, but he actually changes the way we relate to him too. That we don't have to pull ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps. That we don't have to, hey, next week is, what is it? It's New Year's. It's time for a resolution. We're going to do so much better this year. Y'all are going to be so much greater. No, this is revolution is not about resolutions. It's about the grace of redemption. Mary is singing about this Savior that is bringing a revolution of grace. That he's going to look after those who are forgotten. Both the poor in spirit, as we all should be, and as Luke says, the poor. That we look after in God's economy of grace, those who are oftentimes forgotten because he looks after us. And we're freed to do that because we don't have to not only serve ourselves, but save ourselves. Let me pray for us. Our God and our Father, we thank you for this glorious night. We thank you for the chatter of the children. We thank you for the opportunity to be a family together, to rejoice and to remember that you came, that you're real, that this song that Mary sings about a real redemption that is changing everything. Lord, may we be changed by it. May we drink deeply of the wells of grace, and may those spring up and change the tunes of our hearts. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.